just because a company hires you today and you're the CMO doesn't mean that you're going to be the type of CMO that that company needs in 3 years. Of course, you know, the best CMOs are the hybrid types that have that kind of marriage and blend between old school marketing of brand and creative and content and messaging coupled with performance marketing, new age, digital, data, what have you.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof. So you might want to go back on your feed to listen to the first episode where we had Jillian Ryan from eMarketer on. It was a really great conversation, and I wish that I had a chance to go a little bit deeper with her, but I think she had a speaking engagement or something right afterwards. So I really wanted to get her back in the studio for another conversation where we could really dive into the future of the CMO and is the future of the CMO bright? Are they still relevant? I mean, I think the answer is yes, but it's definitely a shifting landscape. And I know that most people who listen to this show are either on the CMO track or interested in the future of marketing in general. So I thought this was a great conversation to have. So Jillian, welcome back.
Great to be here again, Jeremy. Thank you.
You know, it's really nice to see that even though we try to scare people away, inevitably sometimes we fail and they come back to us. So this is great. I really wanted to talk to you because I know that you put together a report somewhat recently, right? And didn't you really do a lot of research in the future of the CMO and
yes,
kind of
sir.
The evolving role? So What did you find?
Yeah. So anyone that listened to the last episode would have heard me talk about, you know, my view of modern marketing about people, processes, and partners. Well, the CMO fits right into the people point. You know, we need to be thinking about marketing leaders. You've seen them. I've seen them. I think everyone listening has seen the headlines that, you know, the CMO role is disappearing. CMOs are dying. CMOs are no more. Jeremy is rolling his eyes.
I really am rolling my eyes.
Because, I am also rolling my
and
eyes.
And by the way, it's funny because if you go back in the feed and look to see like when Jillian was here last, I know we've had a few people on since then. But I think that one of the things that was really most interesting to me is like we talk about biases, right? And we talk about how some people just want to have this bold proclamation, such as the CEO is dead. And I'm like, the CMO is dead. But frankly, you could say that about the CEO because the CEO's role is evolving, mm-hmm. right? Or same thing about like chief operations officer,
yeah.
like things like that, like they change.
Yeah. So that was really what one of the things that spurred me to write this report was like, okay, really? It's dead? So myself and two junior analysts went on a quest starting in July of this year, and our goal was to interview 50 CMOs. So for context, anytime I do a report, it's generally like 20 to 25. So this was a big goal, double what we normally do. And they killed it. We got 68 interview sources for this report. Over 60 were CMOs, but we did have a couple of consultants from PwC. I think we had Bain, Deloitte to kind of give a little bit of extra color beyond just the CMOs themselves. Part of our research was we wanted to make sure that we got a good cross-section of CMOs. So we did that by looking at companies rather than the actual individual professionals. We wanted CMOs from a variety of industries. We wanted CMOs that had only been at their company for a year. Some have been for 10 years. The size of the company was important. The revenue of the company was important, where they were located, if they were just, you know, a U.S. company or a global company. So trying to really get a diverse, diverse voices, essentially, to really inform the research. And the questions that we asked them were, well, what is the future of this role? What is the role now? How has it changed from the last time you were in this position? Where do you see it 5 years from now? And we had some really great conversations. There was a lot of transcripts to read through, as you can imagine, to kind of come out with, okay, well, this is, you know, the eMarketer view, the unbiased view of what we think the future of the position is.
I was going to say, that could probably have been a book, like that you just, if you take all of those, because I've read through transcripts of like 19 pages, and I'm like, okay, I'm always worried that I'm reading too quickly and I'm going to miss the meat.
It took me like 3 weeks just to read through transcripts. Never mind conducting the interviews.
Is that, I'm just totally curious, on paper, or is it, because I can't, this is maybe old of me, but like I've had a lot of things where I PDF the whole thing and I try to read all of it on like a digital screen. And after a while, I'm like, okay, I got to print
some
of
this out. So I'm reading in a Word document on my computer because this is what we talked about last time. Part of my process is to read through once and highlight what I think is important in yellow. And then after I've read every transcript, I'll go back one more time and then I'll start porting the quotes that I think are most relevant over into a Word
document.
That's
actually kind of what I do, by the way. So
great. So we're the same person.
You know what they say? Great minds think alike. We finish each other's
sentences.
I was going to say sandwiches, but yeah, no, I mean, I think that that's to me like a very good way of doing it. Obviously I'm biased, but I think that
because you do it the same
way.
Well,
when you have so much to go through and you find like these really interesting pullouts,
yeah.
Like to me, what's also interesting is that you probably notice a few trends. Like you notice like, oh, the CMO of today, for some reason, their previous role tended to, you know, be from a different industry than the one that they're going into, which, you know, implies that a lot of industries are open to being disrupted. Or maybe that the CMO of today is picking up a few skills that the CMO of yesteryear did not have.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you uncovered a few things
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really the analyst process for all reports, is to try to find those commonalities. For the CMO report, we certainly realize that what we like to say is the scope is expanding and evolving, which essentially means that there are things that are now on the CMO's plate that weren't on the CMO's plate 5 years ago, 10 years ago. The CMO of Poshmark, whose name is escaping me right now.
We'll throw it in the show notes.
Okay. He had this great quote about, you know, a couple of years ago, marketing was more of an order taker. So essentially, you know, whatever team would be like, okay, marketing, we need X, Y, and Z done because it doesn't matter. You don't need to know why. Just do this. And now the CMO is really, you know, has a seat at the table, is there making strategic business decisions, is trying to foster those conversations. And a big reason for that, another trend about how the role has evolved is that is because of the customer. You know, we talk a lot about customer experience, City Marketer, and you know, marketers and CMOs have that connection to the customer. They own that data. They own all that first party infrastructure that could really understand the customer, having conversations with the customer. And when a CMO is the voice of the customer, that again gives a greater and more vast purview into the organization.
It's really interesting because I think you're right that's a role that's just naturally changed when you have more data at your disposal. With the typical company, things are a lot more measurable, which naturally means if you're measuring more and you're controlling that, I would think that you become more important to the product development, mm-hmm. you know, function. You're basically helping to develop the product. You're helping to collate, you know, the customer experience after, you know, they've engaged with your product, if they purchased it or whatever,
yeah.
The aftercare, you can consume the data from that and then use that to iterate on the product to create something that is, I mean, I hate to say future-proof, but basically if you create something that the customer really wants and develop the best possible experience, it's really difficult for people not to purchase it.
Yeah. So in your kind of riffing right now, you hit on two of the other themes that came out in the report. So you mentioned data helps with measurement. That was a really big theme that a lot of the CMOs spoke about, which is essentially leveling up the conversation. So marketing KPIs, super important. Anyone who's a marketer needs to measure all of that. But when conversations are being had in the C-suite, when you're talking to a board of directors, the modern CMO needs to be able to speak about, you know, pipeline, revenue, what a marketing, you know, endeavor did for an outcome. So it's not about actions. It's not like, oh, well, we in marketing, you know, posted this to this page and we ran an ad campaign because the executives don't care. But it's like, okay, we spent this much money and that equated to this much pipeline, or that, you know, converted this many customers. So having that conversation is what the new CMO needs to do. That doesn't mean that the team isn't governed by marketing metrics, because obviously that's going to help enable all those outcomes. But it's kind of parsing that out when you're talking to leadership.
Okay, so follow-up question then on that, because I know that in some ways, you know, like we're talking about the measurement aspect, and the performance marketing, if you will, aspect of it. But I've noticed that there are a lot of roles that are popping up, like chief growth officer, for instance. Does that report to the CMO, or is that something that winds up kind of competing with the CMO? Because to me, when I think of growth, I naturally think of performance marketing and acquiring leads. And, you know, I don't know where that lives in the average company these days.
Yeah. So first, case-by-case basis, I think within every organization, it's going to be different. So for example, like Coca-Cola doesn't have a CMO. They have a chief growth officer. But that chief growth officer was on stage at Adweek saying, but I own marketing. So that's one example of that. But when you look at the whatever the X is between the C and the O, I think it's semantics. Do you have a marketing leader? Do you have a leader within your organization, I should say, that is owning marketing, that is owning the customer, that is in charge of the experience, that is about creating, you know, a path to purchase? And if you do, that is your CM, CD, CG. I don't really think it matters as long as there's someone who's responsible for marketing. You know, yes, there are organizations that perhaps are legacy companies that aren't as digitally advanced. So it would make sense that they have a CDO that could almost build up a center of excellence to help them, you know, get their bearings in digital. And yes, sometimes that person does report to the CMO. But I would say the red flag that we saw, at least through interviews, no matter what the position is called, is that if your marketing leader doesn't report directly to the CEO, that's when you have a problem. And where often marketing can kind of be regulated to that old school thought of order takers rather than really being a strategic contributor to the organization. Because if you're not reporting directly into the chief executive, who then are you reporting it
to? If the CMO doesn't go into the CEO, I would say WTF, because I think
that's
that
all CMOs should say.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, the way I look at it, if you see the most valuable companies around, you know, so many of those are ones that have invested a lot in their marketing, a lot in their brand. So why would you say, oh, but that's not an important thing to this organization? I think it sends the wrong message about the overall value of the CMO to that org. And it just makes me think that, well, is that company necessarily going to be around all that long if they're making the wrong bet, the bet that marketing is going to be less important in the future?
I think that's totally fair. You know, a lot of those headlines that I mentioned at the top of our conversation are also talking about, well, the tenure's decreasing and there's a lot of turnover. And yes, I think that that's true. But it's also because just because a company hires you today and you're the CMO doesn't mean that you're going to be the type of CMO that that company needs in 3 years. Doesn't mean that you're going to want to still do the work that you're doing for that company. So I think it makes sense that CMOs do a little bit of hopping between different companies and positions, because maybe they're a brand CMO, but this company needs more of a performance-driven type of expertise. Of course, you know, the best CMOs are the hybrid types that have that kind of marriage and blend between old school marketing of brand and creative and content and messaging coupled with performance marketing, new age, digital, data, what have you.
And, you know, Patty McCord, who worked at Netflix and basically helped put together you know, their culture deck, which was really famous. And maybe if she hears me complimenting her here, she'll come on the show sometime. You know, she basically said, and I'm paraphrasing from her book, Powerful, which is that, you know, sometimes you hire somebody and there's a job to do, and then they've done that job. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to, you know, have them, you know, go to the wayside. And it's natural that that happens more so in a job that is being disrupted as much as the CMO.
Yeah.
Simply because you've been there for a few years and now the needs have changed and you'll be okay and they'll be okay. But that's, you know, the company's evolving.
Yeah. And you're on to your next challenge just as the company is. We talked to Tony Weissman, the CMO of Dunkin', and we actually interviewed him
At a Starbucks.
No, on the phone. We interviewed him just a couple of weeks before it was announced that he was leaving the company. But, you know, in his interview, he was the one who led them through the rebrand. They were Dunkin' Donuts, and now they're Dunkin', not Starbucks.
Yep.
So, you know, but that doesn't diminish the amount, the work that he did, the contribution to the organization, just because he's parting ways, moving on to something else.
Yeah, and actually, it's interesting because, you know, talking about parting ways, I wonder, you know, are people parting ways with CMOs that have more of a branding, non-performance metric driven background? And the reason why I ask that is not just because I have a strong branding background. No, but I, in all seriousness, I think that what's interesting to me is I think about companies like Apple that have been able to command, you know, such market share by having really powerful brands. And yet what I've noticed is that the people who are really strong branding and storytellers, when it's very difficult for them to quantify their value to the organization, they tend to go to the wayside. And yeah, those are the people who are not necessarily getting ahead. And I just think more organizations are relying on data and metrics. And I don't expect that to, you know, change anytime soon. Mm. But from your conversations, did you find the same thing or not so much?
Yeah. So I would say in general, you know, within the CMO role and just marketing in general, we're seeing a shift at eMarketer kind of back to the days of the importance of brand. You know, I think that we went a little too far on the pendulum with performance and data, which super important, but we need to have that balance between the two. You know, both of those skill sets, even though they're opposite, need to work in tandem. As a CMO, it would be great if you had the background in both. But, you know, a lot of the consultants that we actually spoke to just said, like, well, that's a really tall order. How do you find one person that has 25 experience in both brand and performance marketing? Like, that's almost a unicorn. Like, does that person even exist? And if they do, how many of them are there out there?
Well, I guess they need 50 years of experience. So if they graduated college at 22, they're 72. So that's great. They'll be a CMO for 3 years, and then they won't have to get fired because they'll die. So yeah, it's a problem. You know, when you really want to focus on multiple things simultaneously. Yeah. And in some ways, I feel like that branding and storyteller, visionary CMO can be that macro thinker that can certainly often manage a performance marketing organization.
Yeah.
And I guess to me, the thing that is interesting is just that basically just because we can measure everything doesn't mean that things that are harder to measure are less valuable. It might just be a little bit trickier to prove the value of those things, but sometimes they're actually more valuable.
Yeah. No, I mean, I subscribe to that as well. I would also say that CMOs need to be self-aware. So if you are more of a performance person and you don't have a brand background, that doesn't mean you can't be a CMO. It just means knowing what your shortcomings are or where you're not as strong and hiring the right team, building an organization that can do your creative, working with an agency, like basically knowing what your holistic marketing value chain needs to be and what the organization underneath you needs to do, and not being afraid to put that on other people and making sure that you're managing them in a right way, which is, you know, as I said, I see the CMO falling into like the people bucket of my marketing transformation analysis. And the CMO isn't alone. They're only as strong as the team that they have underneath them. So it's being a CMO is also just about managing down and making sure that you're explaining your strategy to your organization, but also not being afraid to have the knowledge that is within your team move up to you. If there's something that your team is strong at and they know about, like, listen to them, learn from them, because those could be the CMOs of the future in how many years?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that, you know, just to kind of like wrap this up, because I think that this is really interesting, you know, for the folks who are kind of on that CMO track or want to aspire to be that one day, what are some of the skills that, you know, so based off of the conversations that you've had, like how are these CMOs that are at the top of their game, how are they staying fresh, you know, besides like, let's say, subscribing to eMarketer and
listening to Future Proof?
Right, exactly. Listening to Future Proof. You said it, not me, but What are the things that folks like that are doing to keep themselves sharp and relevant and better predictors as to what's going to be important in the years ahead?
So getting there, you know, there are a lot of soft skills that we actually heard about, things that I think are innate within people, the ability to be agile, to have, you know, an always on learning personality, to be someone who isn't afraid to experiment and fail, test and learn. So those are kind of just like human traits that I think were applicable to every single person that we talked to. A lot of CMOs, we actually asked all of them about their experience. Like, how did you get to this position? We had Rhodes Scholars and, you know, people that started off as like biochemists, like really unique backgrounds. Jeremy's making the funniest face right now. But one of the common themes was that if you know that if you're working in marketing, no matter what level you're at now, and you know eventually you want to sit in that C-suite position, is to start moving around. You know, did you do your stint in product marketing already? Okay, great. Let's try something in social. Okay, you did social. Okay, let's try something like go work at an agency for a minute and figure out what it means to be client facing. And to move around to basically get not just a breadth of experience, but deep experience in each one of those stints that you do. Once you're in the role, I mean, yes, I think you're right. Being able to consume, you know, research out there, reading studies about the future of your role will be really helpful. But again, I think it is this always learning appetite and not being set in your ways. The moment that you're a CMO that's like, well, this is the way I do marketing, you're not going to be successful because you need to be keeping up with what's happening with your customers, what's happening with new technologies. And if you're not aware of that, you'll be the one that has the target on your back that will be the next headline. You have to be up for the challenge too, because there is a big and an increased target on your back because CMOs now have a bigger seat at the table. So it is a double-edged sword in a way.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, I think that's why I love marketing, is because it's moving so quickly. So mm-hmm. The moment I feel like people like me don't have targets on their back is probably the moment where I move into something that is getting disrupted, because it's just a lot more exciting, even though it's also more stressful. You know, like my white hairs have white hairs, but I think that, you know, it's a fun time to be a marketer. So Jillian, thank you so much for really helping me know that, you know, folks like me have a future.
Yeah, no, of course. Happy to be here.
And thank you again, Jillian, for coming back for a second conversation. Really appreciate her making the trek out to the Upper East Side for this a second time. Hope you all enjoyed this conversation. And just a quick reminder, I know you guys know by now, but you can please rate and review us wherever finer podcasts are sold, including Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.